Our last case for argument is Graczyk v. West Publishing Company, Mr. Stroutens.
Is the court. My name is Blake Anthony Stroutens on behalf of plaintiffs in this matter. And the issue before this court is whether the defendant, West Publishing Company, has violated the Driver's Privacy Protection Act, otherwise known as the DPPA, by obtaining in bulk format plaintiffs and the putative class's personal information for the sole purpose of reselling that information for a profit. And under the clear express terms of the DPPA, West has indeed violated the statute. Now, the main issue in this case seems to turn on the authorized recipient language that's contained in Section 2721C of the statute, which states that statutory section is titled Resale or Redisclosure, an authorized recipient of personal information, except a recipient under subsection B11 or B12 may resell or redisclose the information only for a use permitted under subsection B. Now, the placement of that language in the statute immediately after subsection B compels that authorized recipient means a person who has received that information for a permissible purpose under one of the express exceptions under subsection B. And you come to this result by looking at the context of the statute. The civil liabilities provision of the statute, section 2724, creates a cause of action for a person who obtains, uses, or discloses, can be either of those three instances, personal information for a purpose that is not permitted under the statute. And bulk obtainment for resale for a profit is not one of the purposes that is authorized under the statute. Now, looking at a statute, you look at it as a whole, and looking at the language and the context within which it falls within the statute. And in doing so, you should give the terms their ordinary meanings. Now, the term authorized, as the Supreme Court held in County of Washington versus Gunther, usually means authorized by a law, and that law here would be the DPPA, meaning authorized recipient would be authorized by the provisions of the statute itself. The word recipient, it by its very definition, means to receive something, which is very similar to the offense of obtaining something. Therefore, to obtain something is also to receive something. So the fact that you're receiving it also means you're obtaining it, and if you obtain something, personal information under the statute.
Data aggregation done in this case, that's a useful service, isn't it?
Well, it depends who's using the service.
Who's what?
Who's using the service.
Well, it's police departments and so on.
But under the terms of the statute, while it may be a useful service, it's certainly a service that the states can provide as well.
That is what?
It's a service that the states can provide as well.
So your view is this kind of data aggregation simply illegal?
That's correct, under the statute.
So if you had a credit card company and it got the records in bulk, but then they didn't do anything with them, they just stored them for later possible use, would that be a violation because they're not using them at the time, they're just storing it?
That's correct. Under the plain language of the statute,
that would be a violation.
That would be a violation, correct.
And if a credit card company wanted to delegate to some other entity like West, because they had the computer capacity and all that, that they wanted West to put such data together in the aggregate so they could use it with their credit card company, would that be illegal?
Yes, it would. Under the terms of the statute, West is not an authorized recipient, and they have not properly obtained the information for a purpose under the DPPA. Therefore, any information that West has obtained, they cannot redisclose it under the statute. They've already violated the statute. While they may be disclosing it to a company that may possibly have a use for it, their initial obtainment of the information in itself violates the statute.
But are any of the agencies to which it's disclosing this information, are they violating the act?
It's unknown. This case was dismissed under a 12B6 motion.
Well, is it your contention, or do you regard that as completely irrelevant?
Well, I regard it as completely irrelevant for purposes of plaintiff's cause of action.
Why would Congress have wanted to do this, though?
Well, the
talk about plain language, but we don't usually like to interpret statutes so that they're ridiculous.
Well, I don't think that the statute as interpreted is ridiculous.
Well, what's the objection to having data aggregation to make this information more available to the police departments and, you know, FBI and so on? Why isn't that a good thing? What's the problem?
Well,
they're
entitled
to the information. It's just that you can't have every separate police department of the United States doing its own collection of, right? Because people move around. How would it work without aggregation? Right?
Well, quite frankly, I don't believe the record's been developed as to how police and law enforcement obtain this information.
It's not a record thing. This is not something you develop by evidentiary. It's a question of how does this work?
Well, I think the important inquiry is where the government gets the information from. I certainly believe it is certainly important for them to have easy access to this information for law enforcement purposes.
Well, for that you need aggregation, don't you?
I don't believe that's correct.
Well, there are thousands of police departments in the United States. Are all of them supposed to be collecting driver's licenses?
Well, the aggregation is within the states itself. Mm-hmm. The states have the information. Now, if
there are 50 states with people moving around all the time.
That's correct.
So don't you want a national aggregation of these data?
Well, that's not what Congress stated when they passed this statute.
Well, they didn't say it was illegal. I mean, you have your plain language. What does the word authorization mean? Yeah, you can always parse a statute and find pitfalls into which Congress fell by imperfect drafting.
Well, I think if you look to the actual purpose behind the statute and Congress's intent, the intent was to protect individuals' privacy.
Well, how is West endangering people's privacy if it's just dealing with authorized recipients?
Well, as stated in the record, in plaintiff's complaint, paragraph 11, West obtains this information, it's alleged, from third parties. And where those third parties get their information from, the states, it's unknown. And by virtue of exposing this information and reselling it and reselling it and reselling it, puts it at greater risk, much greater risk, of being exposed by identity thieves, lost tapes, lost data, et cetera.
So if a telephone company transmits this information from one police department to another, is it a unlawful aggregator?
If the telephone company had acquired the information for a permissible purpose and the individual
someone on one end of the phone company has collected the information and it sends a telephone or email or something to another state or another police department, say we have all these driver's license, does that make the telephone company an aggregator?
It depends on how the telephone company obtained the information.
I told you how they obtained it.
Was it in bulk?
Pardon?
If it was in bulk obtainment from the state, then no, it would be illegal.
Then it would be what?
Illegal, under the statute.
Illegal.
Unlawful.
So now you're going to have telephone companies that can't communicate this in. How does the information? So anybody who carried this information from one police department to another would be violating the statute?
No. If the individual obtained the information for a permissible purpose under the statute, that would not be an illegal use.
But the person transporting it is not. He's just transporting because that's his business. His business is transportation, right? So he makes sure that he's transporting it to authorized recipients. But I think on your view, he's still an aggregator, and it's illegal.
If he is an agent of the individuals who are requesting the information for a permissible purpose, then that would not be unlawful.
Well, why isn't West an agent of the people who...
West does not have a permissible purpose for obtaining all of the information of all of these individuals in all of these states.
But it wants to supply the information to authorized users of it.
But as the statute is written, Congress has not given them that permission.
So is it your position that the only way you can get this data is go to police departments? The police departments, like the, say the state of Illinois, has everybody's driver's license on file in Illinois. And so the state of Illinois is essentially an aggregator, right? And you're saying only the state of Illinois can give it to another party for a specific use?
No, I believe
so. There can't be anybody else that does it, because the intervention of West gets it from, let's say, from the state. They put it all together in a database. People come to them, they want to buy it. You're saying all that should be done in the state with
no.
The state entity?
I don't agree with that. There is an exception. I'd like to raise 2 points. I see that my time is up. There are 2 points I would like to address to answer your question. The first is that there is no evidence that West actually obtains this information from the states. It's, in fact, alleged that West obtains the information from third-party sources. And second of all, under subsection B1, the state can designate an entity to perform its functions. And if the state designates an entity to perform and carry out its functions, then that would be proper under the statute.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Schultz. Mr. Norwood? Ms. Norwood?
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Diane Green Kelly, and along with Kim Wetterson.
Listed as George Norwood.
No.
Oh, I'm looking at the wrong. No, my fault. No,
I'm Diane Green Kelly.
I've got everything
I'm
backwards.
Representing
that's
West,
Mr. Stratton. Yeah.
Kim
no,
West.
No. I'm very sorry. Yeah.
Your Honors, an authorized recipient does not have to be a user. The appellants here would like this court to conclude that Section 2721C requires that West first use the information for a permissible use in subsection B before it can be a reseller. But for this court to adopt that reasoning, the court has to add language to the DPPA that's not even there, and to ignore language in the civil remedies provision, which is 2724A. That's how these plaintiffs get into court. They have a civil remedies provision. But that remedies provision only permits a private action against one who has obtained, disclosed, or used personal information from a motor vehicle record for a purpose not permitted under this chapter. And this chapter includes the authority of a reseller to sell to others who do have a permissible use. Resellers are gatekeepers here, and that's apparent from the language in 2721C, because it requires resellers to keep records for 5 years of everybody they sell to and the permissible use that that person provided. The statute of limitations in the DPPA is 4 years. So a 5-year record keeping requirement ensures us that we'll have an audit trail. Now, the DPPA is designed to look at the use of information, not the users. And the structure of the statute makes that clear. 2721 is entitled Prohibitions on the Release and Use of Certain Personal Information. So subsection A governs the release by the DMV. Subsection C governs the release by resellers. And then subsection B identifies the permissible uses for which this information can be put. Now, if Congress had intended to outlaw or make unlawful users or recipients, it could have said so very clearly. Other privacy statutes have been enacted and crafted to identify users instead of uses. For example, the Video Privacy Protection Act. That defines the people to whom personally identifiable information can be given. Or the Family Education Rights Privacy Act. That also limits personal information to be released only to certain people identified in the statute. The 1974 Privacy Act prohibits funds to entities who release personal information to anyone other than a specified list. Now, what's interesting is this statute has been around for 14 years. And you know what? It's working. If it wasn't working, we would have heard from the appellant about a parade of horribles about how data aggregators had caused people harm by releasing this information to others for without permissible uses.
Well, could an individual go to the DMV, buy the records, and as long as they certify they're only going to sell them to someone who has a permissible use, that would be your view, right? And
well,
just an individual could go and buy it, and they would just certify, I'm going to make sure I only use it for what's permissible, what's on the list.
Well, would and that that's correct, because there are remedies provisions. There is a criminal remedies provision, and there is a civil remedies provision. You know, murder's against the law, but people commit murder. So somebody could go to the DMV and obtain it, and if they resold it to others with permissible uses, they would fall within 2721C. If they didn't sell it to someone with a permissible use, someone has a private right of action, or the Department of Justice can impose a criminal action. I mean, think about the way it is working. People's privacy and safety interests have been protected because we haven't heard about a bunch of incidences where that's not the case.
How prevalent is the practice among government agencies and businesses to purchase these records in bulk from companies like West?
Well, they don't buy it in bulk. That's the point. They use Westlaw to find the information quickly. The New York Times bomber, Times Square bomber, they had a car with a license plate. If it's a Sunday, does that mean that law enforcement can't quickly get the information and catch the guy before he is on a plane out of the country? They don't. Every single municipal police department can't purchase all of the databases for every state in the District of Columbia, mm-hmm. which they'd have to have because it could mm-hmm. be an out-of-state license plate. They go to Westlaw, and they get it quickly. If you're going to the grocery store, and it's a Sunday, and you want to write a check because maybe you don't have credit, you don't have a credit card, the Jewel Food Store and Clark and Division can't run down to the DMV, buy your record as you give your identification to cash a check, and come back with it and expect to be efficient. And then what is the under the plaintiff's theory? Then when that person left the store at Jewel and says, you know, I'm going down to Walgreens, would you hold that record and you can resell it to Walgreens because I'm going to write a check over there? That's not the intent of 2721C. The structure of the statute is such that there are gatekeepers, and they include the DMV, and they include resellers. The court can take judicial notice of the fact that data aggregation has been around before the DPPA and after. If Congress had intended to stop the practice, it would have outlawed it clearly. Now,
what do you make, Ms. Diane Greene-Kelly, of the absence of mention of data aggregation? Why an entity like West wasn't envisioned?
Well, it was envisioned in 2721C.
It specifically, when they want to do it, when Congress wants to do it, like with the insurers, right? They mention the insurers in B. Right? So that's an aggregator, the insurance company side.
Well, but you're looking at the permissible uses.
Yeah.
Being a recipient doesn't mean that you're using it. In fact, being a recipient, putting it into a database is non-use. It is sitting there doing nothing until someone who has a permissible use uses it. This statute
so
was
Congress just envisioned that West exists and West would provide the service.
Well, West and other data aggregators that have been around since long before the DPPA. Now,
but of course you agree that West doesn't have a permissible use under the statute as it's spelled out for the personal information it collects. Because, I mean, West is doing this for a profit, for a fee. It's not doing it to use.
They don't use it at all. They are recipients of the information. The users are the ultimate subscribers of Westlaw that come and identify their permissible use and use it for those uses. Again, the DPPA was designed to control the uses of information, not the users. And that's clear from the language in the statute. Now, we don't...
But it certainly doesn't address people who aggregate for profit, does it?
Well, there's no prohibition against profit. In fact, the DMVs sell the information, and that's been a practice long recognized, even when the DPPA was enacted, that the DMVs sell this information in bulk to make money to subsidize the cost of running the DMV. There is no prohibition in here for making a profit. And the reseller provision, which expressly authorizes resale, doesn't have a prohibition for profit. In fact, I mean, this is a capitalist society. People are in business to make a profit. And had Congress intended that resellers not make a profit, it would have said so. Now, our brief makes clear that we think this analysis of the plain language of the statute is clear. But if for some reason this court thinks that the appellant's argument is plausible, our brief has discussed all of the legislative history that supports, all of it supports Westside. There isn't one cite to anything in the legislative history that supports the theory that a reseller must first use the information before it can be a reseller. And also the Department of Justice letter was an advisory letter that supported exactly the position that West Publishing is asserting here. And the Department of Justice is the agency that's supposed to enforce the statute. And that's instructive. So we simply ask that this court affirm the district court and not come out with a result that really would be absurd if it upheld the appellant's view. And I know this court has in the past, in the Lake versus Neal case, refused to interpret this statute to come up with an absurd result.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Green-Kelly. Mr. Stratton, do you want a minute? Have anything further?
So DMVs that resell or sell this information for profit, I mean, to not only keep the DMV going, but to put some money in the state's coffers, under your theory, would that be illegal?
For the DMVs to sell the information?
Mm-hmm.
To whom are they selling it to?
To one of the people on the list, for one of those uses on the list.
If it's for a permissible purpose under the statute, then clearly they're abiding by the law.
Because they're the DMV, that's what makes it different. Because they're collecting
the
data.
They're the ones that have the information. Congress knew this when they passed the legislation. They knew the states had it. They knew the states would be the ones selling that information. Now, if West wanted to get this information from the states, they could do that. Okay. And if this court would like to read that interpretation of the statute as the way it's supposed to be done, fine. But then West is still violating the statute because they're not getting it from the states. And had Congress intended to allow this practice to go forward, now my opposing counsel has mentioned that it's, you know, the legislative history is clear.
So how would they get it from the states or from individuals or
Visa? They could get the information from Visa. Visa could get West could buy the information from Visa.
Well, under the statute, I don't believe that would be permissible.
And then why? What's the reason? Why does it matter where they get the information from?
Under the only circuit court to actually address this issue.
Just give a reason. You have to refer to a case.
The reason is that these states are the gatekeepers. The states are the ones that can designate who can receive the information. If the state designates one company to do it to distribute the information for a permissible purpose, that's fine. But the states have not designated West to do that here.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Stoughton, Ms. Stratton, Ms. Green-Kelly. And court will be in recess Monday.